looking at being single-minded in our life, being single-minded in our relationship with Christ. The book of Philippians is known as the Epistle of Joy. It's known as the Epistle of Joy. It mentions joy over 19 times throughout this short little four-chapter epistle. The Apostle Paul, the writer of this book, also the writer of Romans, writes this book to the church at Philippi, this book of joy, and there's something you have to know about this book of joy. The Apostle Paul writes this book of joy while he's in prison for what we now know as a 2-year time period, chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. Not a very joyful circumstance to find himself in. And yet the Apostle Paul writes this book that we call the Epistle of Joy. It's crucial that we grasp the background of what's taking place when the Apostle Paul writes this, that we have that mental picture that here's the Apostle Paul chained to a guard for a time period he does not know, and he's writing about joy, having joy, rejoicing, being joyful in your life and in your response to circumstances and situations. It's crucial that we understand this because Paul teaches us today how to act, how to live, how to behave, how to respond in difficult situations and in difficult seasons. I think many of us would say here today, we find ourselves in some difficult situations. We find ourselves in some tough times, some rough times. It's not always easy out there right now. Well, tune in and listen to how the Apostle Paul says to respond. Tune in and listen to how he responded in that situation. Apostle Paul determined to be single-minded to the situation he was facing. He determined to be single-minded about Christ and what Christ was accomplishing on his behalf. And so listen in to what he has to say. Here's the thing. The life of a believer should be overflowing with joy. The life of a believer should be marked by a joyful life. Let me give you a definition of believer. Believer in Jesus Christ equals a fully committed, fully submitted, fully devoted follower of Christ. There's no room to say, well, I kind of believe him, but I kind of do my thing. No, you're not a believer. Plain and simple, it doesn't work that way. A believer is fully committed, fully submitted. There's no sitting on the fence. There's no lukewarm place that we can be. We're fully in or we're fully not. But the one who's fully in, the one who is a believer in Jesus Christ, fully committed to him, will have a life that is marked by joy, despite circumstance and situation. And we'll have joy for one simple reason, if for nothing else. The very reason we celebrated today, that Jesus Christ conquered death so that I might live. Live eternally and live here now abundantly. We have joy because of Jesus. If nothing else around us makes sense, we have that. In John, Jesus said this, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Listen, yes, your joy will overflow. Did you hear what he said? Yes, your joy will overflow. Not, well, it might overflow. Maybe it'll overflow. We'll see how it goes in your situation. No. I have come that your joy will overflow. Jesus also said in John chapter 10, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came, Jesus, that they may have and enjoy life and have it. Listen to this word, in abundance. Listen to what the Amplified Bible says, to the full, till it overflows. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. He's not talking about eternal life right here. He's talking about this life, a life of abundance that's overflowing with the joy of the Lord despite our circumstance. Listen, God's desire for his kids, those who are following him, fully devoted to him, those are his kids. God's desire for his kids is a life overflowing with joy, a life full of abundance. If I, a dad, in a old nature, as we learned about last week, in my old nature, in my own selfishness, in my own desires to do what I want to do, if I understand, if I desire to bless my kids, how much more does the perfect father, the perfect dad, desire to bless his kids? And that's who God is. We have to get our thinking right about God. in relation to his kids. He loves his kids. He wants to bless his kids. He wants his kids to have a life overflowing with joy and abundance. Here's the point of Paul's message today. It starts with a mind change on my part. It starts with a mind change on your part. We have a choice to make. I must choose to change my mind. I must choose to respond with joy, with rejoicing, with excitement about what God is doing in my life. I have to respond with joy. But I can only do that if I choose to do that. You've heard it. Your attitude affects your altitude. Your attitude affects your altitude. How I think truly affects how I feel. However I think truly affects how I feel. If I go into a situation and say, you know what, it's going to be miserable. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be horrible. I am not going to have a good time. This is horrible. Then I'm going to go in and it's going to be horrible. It's going to be awful. How I think affects how I feel about a situation or an individual. The Apostle Paul, based on those little bit of detail that I just gave you about his circumstance in writing this book, the Apostle Paul could have written a book that said, guys, listen, it's really difficult. Times are really tough. I don't have any freedom anymore. I'm chained to a guard 24 hours a day. I don't know what's going to happen when I finally get to have my trial. I don't know how it's going to go. It's going to be so difficult. He could have responded that way. We probably would have responded that way. But he chose not to. He chose to think differently. Listen, in Matthew, Jesus says on your outline, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. It'll worry about itself. It's got its own deal. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Live today. With joy, abundant. There's three places we can choose to live in our life. We can live one in the past. That's a bad place. Don't live there. Don't think there. Don't turn, change the channel. Get off that place. That's just reruns of bad information. It's junk. Number two is we can live in the present. It's current. It's up to date. The Lord is doing something. He's accomplishing something. He has a purpose and a plan that he wants to accomplish on our behalf. I can choose to live in the present, or I can choose to live in the future. And listen, the future is just as bad as the past. I'm going to get angst up and worried about what's coming. I'm going to get worried about how's this situation going to turn out. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to pay the bill? How am I going to make the mortgage? Am I going to have a job? Don't live there. Live in today. We can choose to live in today. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got its own deal. You just deal with today. Believer, listen, we were not made to worry. That is not how we were built. It is not in our DNA. As believers, we were not made for misery. We were not fashioned for fear. We were not wired to worry. That is not how we're built. We're built to live a life of joy, overflowing joy, abundant joy should be how a believer is marked. We can choose to think differently. We can choose to respond differently. Write this down. We cannot change our heart, but we can change our mind. We cannot change our heart, but we can change our mind. I can't change my heart, but I can certainly change how I think about something. I can certainly view it in a different light. I can think differently. Write this down. God can change your heart. Catch this, but he won't change your mind. God can change your heart, but he won't change your mind. He can, but he chooses not to. You change your mind. We choose to change our mind, to think differently. If I choose to change how I think about a situation, if I choose to view it through a different lens, then God will change my heart. It'll follow. It'll follow my thinking. The wisest man to ever live in Proverbs wrote this, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. That verse is on your outline. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever he thinks, that's what he's going to be. However we view the situation is how the situation is going to be. However we view life is how our life is going to be. Listen, When you come to one of us and you say, Pastor, listen, life is really difficult. Things are really tough right now. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to respond. I don't know that I'll pay the mortgage next month. I don't know that it's really difficult. Here, there's only one advice that we can give you. One biblical sound advice that we can give you. You must choose to change your thinking. Nothing changes until I change my mind. Nothing changes until I change my mind. We have a choice on how we view life. And as we learn from Paul, it's when Christ is at the center. When we are single-minded about Jesus Christ. Verse 1, it says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants or slaves of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, pastors and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God. Listen to what he's saying. Chained up 24 hours a day. No freedom. No end in sight. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's a choice to think that way. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He's choosing to be marked by joy. Paul talks about his first visit to Philippi. When he came there, that was not his plan. That was not his intention. That was not the course that he was set on. He had a different course in mind, but God had a different course in mind for him. Oftentimes in our lives, we set out on the course of life. I'm determined. I'm going this way. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to accomplish. And all of a sudden, the doors slam shut. The windows come down. The shutters go on. It's dead end, done deal. And we begin to worry. And we begin to say, what am I going to do? I was going this way. I don't know what I'm going to do. But Paul could have chosen to respond that way. But Paul had a single focus in his mind. Paul was focused on Jesus Christ. Paul knew that God had a purpose and a plan. Paul knew that there was a direction he needed to change course and step in the new direction. That new direction didn't make sense. It didn't add up. It didn't all come nice and neat on a spreadsheet of life. But he stepped because that was the choice. He stepped because he knew that Christ was the center of his life. Write this down. To know God's purpose and avoid bitterness, I must be focused on Christ. When those difficult days come, we say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is really, you know, end of the road. I don't know how to respond. That's how we respond. With Christ as a center, I must be focused on Christ. What do I mean? I mean focus so much on Christ and our relationship with him that we realize he plans my days. He orchestrates every step that I take. Every purpose and every plan comes from him. Hey, commercial break for a second. Stop putting junk on Facebook about how horrible it is. Do that. Do that for me, please. Rejoice. You're a testimony. Just came to my mind. Commercial break. Sorry. Unless it's really hot, you can complain about that all day long. Being focused on Christ and our relationship with him is that we realize he plans my day. He has a purpose and a plan and a direction that I'm going. Write this down. When my plan is not working, this is probably not even grammatically correct, I don't care. When my plan is not working as I planned, it may be time to change plans. There's a problem in that sentence. When my plan is not working as I planned. That's the problem in that sentence. He must be the center, the focus of our life. When my plan is not working, I need to change plans and remember to keep my focus on Jesus Christ. Look, I don't mean when you have a bad week or a couple of days that don't work out or you have a run-in with the boss. I don't mean that that's the time to say, you know what, I'm done, I'm heading out of here. Changing plans, changing course. You'll be changing course every week. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you come to the end of the road in that direction and there's another direction I can go, but I'm going to go this way because that's what I set out to do. Then Christ is not central in your life. Christ is not the driving force in your decisions. There's a fundamental change in our speech that must take place for the believer. We no longer have the freedom to say, here's what I'm going to do, Lord. Here's the direction I'm going to go, Lord. So can you get on board? No, we don't get to do that anymore. What we get to do is we get to say, God, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to accomplish? That's when he's the center. That's when he's the single focus of our thought and our life. Is when we look at him and we say, Lord, what do you want me to accomplish? The Bible says in Psalms, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Righteous man equals the definition we gave at the beginning. Believer, fully submitted, fully committed, fully devoted to following Christ. That's the righteous man. The righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. We might even say it like this. The stops, S-T-O-P-S, the stops of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That's right. Sometimes he puts up the stop sign and says, change course, change direction. We can avoid bitterness and frustration and irritation if we're open to the move of God, if we're listening to the Spirit of God, and we've got Christ as the center focus. Paul knew to go to Philippi because he was obedient to Christ. He saw that that was the course he had to take. He didn't know where it would end. He just knew he had to step because everything else was closed. He guides and directs our life. A life under his direction, listen, will be a life marked by joy. A life under the direction of Jesus Christ will be a life marked by joy. All right, this wasn't a fill-in, but you need to listen. Joy does not depend on my outward circumstance. Joy does not depend on my outward circumstance. It depends on the inward condition of the individual. It depends on how I choose to think. It doesn't matter what the externals are. What matters is how I'm choosing to think. And in verse 6, Paul says this, being confident of this very thing, that he, Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer in Jesus Christ, you're fully committed, fully devoted to follow him, he will complete the work that he's begun. Not maybe complete it, not let me see how you do, and then I'll determine what I want to do. He says, I'm going to complete that work in you, fully committed to me, fully devoted to me, fully submitted to me. I'm going to complete the work in you. There's a problem. We as believers often walk around, believers is what we're called. We often walk around and behave like unbelievers. As a matter of fact, many could probably look at us and say, they act like atheists. They don't even act, they don't respond like there's a God that's on their side. Our God is for us. Our God is with us. Who can stand against us? Did you utter those words this morning as you sang praise to God? Do you believe them? It's all in how we respond. We'll show how what we really believe. But as believers, we act like unbelievers. We walk around complaining and grumbling. Everything is against me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to respond. Let me just tell you something. I don't want to be a Christian if I see you act that way. I do not want to be a Christian if I see that that's the kind of joy that's coming from your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot walk around in our life, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how... I hope I have a job next month. I don't know that I'm going to make the car payment. This is just difficult. That does not turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Paul's response in Philippians to his very difficult situation, which I would say is probably far more difficult than many of us have ever faced or would face. Paul chose to respond with joy. His joy was in Jesus Christ, that Christ was the center of his life and his existence. They turn the world upside down. We don't turn the world upside down when we walk around complaining, grumbling, miserable about what am I going to do? How am I going to respond? Listen, believer, If you have nothing to point to, and I know that we all, unless you've been a believer for like 5 minutes, have something that we can point to along the course of our life when we looked back and we saw Jesus was in the middle of that situation. That's why that went that way. That's why I ended up here. That's why I went that direction. Now I see. And we need to recount those things in our life. When the difficult seasons and difficult situations come, we need to recount the blessings of God. But listen, if you have nothing else to point to, if you have nothing else to point to in your life, you have this. And it's what we celebrated here today. Jesus Christ's death on the cross. He's given provision for your eternity, and he's given provision for your present. If we have nothing else to point to, we can point to that and say, you know what, I'm in a difficult place, but you know what I know? I know that Jesus Christ died for me, that he gave up his life for mine, so that I could live in eternity with him and that I could live abundantly here. That's what I know, and that's what I choose to believe. Look, we can have all the Bible knowledge in the world. We can come here every week and soak it in, and we can go to 27 Bible studies in the course of 7 days. That's not wrong. It's not bad. That's good. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we learn the character of God. But listen to me. We can have all of that information, all of that going on, but if we choose to walk around life, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's difficult. We will never turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. That doesn't change people's lives. We'll never turn Jupiter upside down for Jesus Christ. Here's what I know about Jesus. He said this in John, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." His desire is to see people come into a relationship with him, to walk with him, to believe on him, to be secure in him. I don't know about you, but I know for me, I want to get on board with the plan of Jesus Christ. I want to get off my plan and get on the plan of Jesus Christ. Here's what I can tell you. Jesus did not save us so that we could come here every week and we could have a holy huddle and walk out of here and complain about my circumstance for the week. He saved us to turn the world upside down for him. That's why we're saved. That's why he's changed our life. To turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. In verse 7, it says, "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch both in my chains and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." He's worried about them. He's not worried about Paul. I long to be with you. I can't wait to be with you. I desire to be with you. It's like a love letter to this church. I want to be with you. Paul chose, again, to have his focus on Jesus Christ and to be concerned for others, to have his care and his worry, if we can use the word worry, to be for others, to care for them, to love them, to be with them. Here's Paul chained up, praying with joy for others. Look, we can go through life and we can face difficult situations that can, we think, rob us of our joy, that can make us a little bit bitter, a little bit frustrated along the way. And when we face them, we can choose how we're going to respond. We're also going to face some people that we think might rob our joy. There are people that are just going to drive you crazy. They're going to irritate you. Look, here's how we respond. We respond with joy, praying for them. The church in Philippi wasn't driving him crazy, but he sure was concerned for them, praying for them. He set an example of how to respond. And as believers here today, we can respond to those difficult people with joy, praying for them, praying blessing for them, praying that God would just move in their lives in incredible ways. And look, you know what'll happen? It'll change your mind about that person. It will change your mind. Write this down. Prayer is not so much about changing God's heart as it is about changing my heart. Prayer doesn't change the heart of God. It just gets my heart in line with Him. It gets me on track with the direction that He's going, the purpose and plan that He has. That's what prayer does. When I pray for the person in my life that's driving me nuts, my heart is softened for them. Hey, look, I had to learn this week. I didn't know I was teaching till Wednesday. And on Monday, I was really bugged with somebody. I was bugged with them. They weren't bugging me. I was choosing to be bugged by them. And on Wednesday, I had to learn to pray for them. I had to learn to change my thinking about that situation. And I had to choose to pray for them, to pray blessing for them. And by Sunday morning, my heart was very softened to them. They're not here today, just so you know. They don't go to church here. But my heart was softened to that person because I chose to pray for them. I chose to have a different thought. Look, you want to change your spouse? Let me tell you. Pray for them. Pray God's blessing on them. Pray that God would just do incredible things for them and in them and through them. You want to change your kids? Pray for them. You want to change your boss? Pray for them. Whoever it is that comes through the course of your life, pray for them. Paul gave us the example. He prayed for these people. He loved these people. We can love those people if we pray for them. Verse 9, he says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent." Underline that are excellent. "That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Look, you want to know how to approve what's excellent? Stop looking for fault. When we walk around going, what am I going to find today? Somebody's going to bug me today. This situation's going to irritate me today. I know they're going to say this and I'm ready for it. I mean, you know, you all have had those arguments in your head. You're arguing all the way. You win that argument too. But you have that argument in your head all the way there. I know this is going to go this way. I just know it's going to happen. I'm just looking for faults. It's going to be there. I'm just fault finding, sin sniffing. Look, that's not approving the things that are excellent. That's not approving the things that are excellent. Approving the things that are excellent is looking and saying, what is awesome? What is good? What is God doing today? What is God accomplishing in my life today, and my family today, and my church today, and my community today? What is God doing that I can get on board with? Because look, He's going to do it with or without you. He doesn't need us, but He chooses to use us to accomplish His purpose and goal, which is to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to change what we're looking for. We have to choose to change our mind. Verse 11, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Be filled with the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. What is that? Love, joy. And the list goes on. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Every purpose is to the glory and praise of God. My existence is for the glory and praise of God. "But I want you to know, brethren," verse 12, "that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." This does not sound like a man who is chained to a guard 24 hours a day in prison with no end in sight and no idea how it's going to end. Hey, my chains are working out. The gospel's going forward. It's okay. I'm good here. I'm good. I'm okay. Verse 13, "so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, and yes, will rejoice. Doesn't sound like a guy who's sitting in prison, does it? Chained to a guard. Look, the gospel's going forward. It's okay. I'm okay, guys. I'm good. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for taking care of me, but I'm good. Because you know what I know? The gospel's going forward. This sounds like a man who's got his viewpoint right, who has Christ at the center, who has a single-minded focus in his life, a single-minded purpose to his life. That's what that sounds like to me. Paul chooses to see it differently. He looked at the situation and said, you know what, it's difficult, but the gospel's going forward. There's an opportunity to spread the gospel. I'm good. His mind was no longer on Paul's circumstance. His mind was on, what is Jesus Christ doing in me? What is Jesus Christ accomplishing with me? His mind was on Christ. Again, there's a way we have to change the way we think. We've got to view some things differently. Write this down. This life is not about me, it's about Christ. This life is not about me, it's about Christ. It is no longer about you. You don't like to hear that, do you? It just grinds at our old man, doesn't it? At our old sin nature. But it is about me. I got things I want to do. I've got a purpose and a plan, and I'm accomplishing these goals, and I'm going to do it. I don't care what you say. God has a purpose. God has a plan, and it's not about me anymore. It's not about what I want, how I want it. It's like this in 2 Corinthians, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It is no longer what I want. It is no longer what I want to do. It's God, I want to be obedient to you, and I'm taking every thought captive to your purpose and your plan, single-minded in the direction of my life to accomplish your purpose, your plan, your goals. In verse 19, he says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's going to turn out. I'm okay. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. As always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul realized no matter what, no matter the circumstance, the situation, his choice was to not complain, to not grumble, to not gripe, but to say Christ is going to be magnified in my body. Christ is going to be glorified in my life. My purpose and goal is Christ's glorification. Here's the thing, write this down. For Christ to be magnified in my life, I must choose to rejoice. For Christ to be magnified in my life, I must choose to rejoice. The external circumstance has nothing to do with my joy and my rejoicing. It's what I choose in my mind. And then verse 21, we read this morning in communion, a little bit ago in communion. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Look, literally, the is not there. For me to live Christ and to die gain. For me to live Christ. Who's living? Not me. Not my purpose, not my plan, not my goal. For me to live Christ. I'm going to live Christ. And if I die, that's gain too. I'm going to be with Jesus. But while I'm here, I'm going to choose to live Christ. Again, that will turn the world upside down. That will change lives, change communities. It's when I choose to live Christ, a life marked by joy. So here's your new statement. Mark it down. Put it wherever you need to put it to remember. My choice in this life is to live Christ. My choice And this life is to live Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, then listen, your choice is only to live Christ. That is your only choice. We don't get another choice. I choose to live Christ. For the sake of time, I'm going to let you read verses 22 through 30 later today. Spend some time in those verses. Spend some time in Philippians. Don't pack your stuff up yet. We're not done. Everybody's in a hurry to get out of here. Tomorrow's the 4th. Listen, there will be difficult days, no doubt. We live in a fallen world, okay? There will be difficult days and difficult situations that come. But when they come, I choose, we choose how we're going to respond. Whether with grumbling and doubt or with joy, rejoicing. Listen, the one who doubts, from James it says this, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Not a little bit of doubting, not let's come together and pray for this person and then turn around and say, well, now, okay, it's, you know, you're facing a very difficult road, so I, you know, you need to really, are you kidding me? Is that faith? Lord Jesus, we believe you want to heal this person. Okay, now, you know, you're going to have a long road, you're going to take a lot of medicine. Come on. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is a life marked by faith and joy, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Look, driven and tossed by the wind, what does that sound like? A life of turmoil. We all know the believers who walk around with a life of turmoil, don't we? They come across our path and everything is horrible. Everything is difficult. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to face it. Oh, tomorrow's just a difficult, I don't know what we're going to do about that. Tomorrow's a difficult day. Today's been a difficult day. I don't know how to handle this situation. Let me tell you how to handle it. Get focused on Jesus Christ. Make him the center. Have no doubt. Not a little doubt. No doubt. Look, think about this for a minute. We've trusted Jesus Christ, if you're a believer. You've trusted Jesus Christ with your eternity. I mean, we're talking heaven and hell. With God, separated from God. We've trusted him with our eternity. Can we not trust him for today? That's scary. Believer, we've got to be marked by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. No doubting, trusting today. The one who believes God and chooses joy will produce that life of blessing and joy. A life of blessing and joy. People will want to be around you. People will want to know, what in the world is wrong with you? Have you not watched the news lately? I have and I don't care. Because Jesus is the center of my life. He said, I will provide for you. I provide for the birds of the air. You think I'm not going to provide for you? Absolutely. Doesn't always look the way we want it to look. Doesn't always feel the way we want it to feel. But that's for our perfecting in Christ. It's part of the process of sanctification. But a life marked by joy is one who chooses to believe God, chooses joy despite the external. Look, if you're a believer here today and you say, you know what, I've been responding that way. Today is your day to choose to stop and say, I'm going to walk out of here marked by joy. People are going to know me for my joy. That's what they're going to see. That's what they're going to know. You can do that today. You just choose to do it. And if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, and you say, I certainly don't have a life marked by joy. The only way to have that joy is in Jesus Christ. In believing in him, the Bible says that if you believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Believing in your heart that he's Lord, you will be saved. You can do that today. And I'm not promising you an easy road, but I'm promising you can have a life marked by joy if you choose to believe. If you've chosen to believe Jesus Christ today, if you've done that for the first time, I want you to do something. I want you to mark it on that connection card. That's why we fill them out at the beginning. Mark it on your connection card. And then I want you to do this. After the service is done, come up here to these prayer partners, hand them that card. They've got some free stuff they want to get you on your way. And then you know what you need to do next week? You need to get baptized. That's what you need to do. So do that today. And believer, if you're here today, look, do me a favor. On your connection card, when you write your prayer request, don't write that I would do better at being marked by joy. That pray that I would get over the, you know, that I would be, whatever, however you want to word it on there. Don't write that on there. Write, I am going to be marked by joy. Thank God with me that I'm now marked by joy. We got to change the way we think. We got to change the way we speak. We're believers in Jesus Christ. We're not operating from the place of a victim. We're operating from the place of victory. We didn't read it in those last verses, but he tells us, let your conduct be worthy. You know what that means? Our citizenship is not here. Let your conduct be worthy of Jesus. So believer, as you go, be marked by joy. Turn your world upside down, marked by joy as you go this week and in the weeks coming. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you again so much that we can be marked by joy if we choose to be marked by joy. Lord, I thank you that we can walk in a relationship with you, that you desire to be in a relationship with us. You desire our praise. And Lord, not only the praise of our mouth on Sunday morning in the worship time, but in the praise of our life, how we live, praises or doesn't praise you. So Lord, may we be marked by people that praise you in everything that we say and everything that we do and every way that we respond. Be marked by joy. Taking from the example of the Apostle Paul, being marked by joy. Lord, we thank you for this weekend and what we're celebrating as a nation. Lord, the freedom to even gather in your name, to study your word, to hear from your spirit. Jesus, we thank you for that. But way more important than any nation that we may live in is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And for that, we're most thankful. For that, we really celebrate. Jesus, we thank you. Let our lives be lives marked by joy. In Jesus' name, amen.